Good morning. It's the 4th of September. Our New Testament reading today is 2 Corinthians 3 and 4. I'm going to read to you from Brother Michael Ashton's book once again. This passage is different from the one I read last year. I read, "How would the apostle's adversary respond to his direct challenge to their assumed authority? He spoke about the glorious gospel that he preached in Corinth, as he did elsewhere, and he mentioned how the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ can change men and women, transforming them from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What then of his own position? He was scorned by his critics because of his supposed unworthiness to be an apostle. Had his comments about the glory that excels exposed him to personal ridicule? As if to counter any adverse response, Paul immediately follows his comments about God shining in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ," that's chapter 4, verse 6, "to explain that this should not cause any individual to be puffed up. It was a reason for deep humility and not a cause for human pride. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Verse 7. The suggestion that earthen vessels can contain the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is probably based on the example of Gideon and his 300 God-chosen men. They surrounded the Midianite army surreptitiously, carrying trumpets in one hand and torches shielded by an empty pitcher in the other. At Gideon's command, they blew the trumpets, broke the jars, and cried out, causing mayhem in the Midianite camp and bringing Israel a great victory over their enemies. That's recorded in Judges chapter 7. The lesson for Israel was the one Paul taught the Corinthians. They needed to learn that the excellence of the power is of God and not of men. In this helpful parable, the earthen vessels or empty pitchers relate to man's mortal nature. Man is of the earth, earthy, and he can be enlightened only by learning the truth of the gospel. The Midianites stand for those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The underlying message is the same as the one in Paul's first letter to Corinth, that no flesh should glory in his presence, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 29. Salvation is God's work, and he sometimes uses men and women as instruments to fulfil his purpose. Paul was very aware from his own experiences how the preaching of the gospel involved personal humiliations and difficulties. In many ways, the messenger was being broken as he sought to publish the message. We are handicapped on all sides, but we are never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. That's the J.B. Phillips translation of verses 8 and 9 of chapter 4. There is great encouragement here for today's preachers, who often face difficulties in a world that grows increasingly hostile to the gospel of truth. To follow Paul's example is to allow the message to predominate, so that the messenger becomes almost invisible. He saw himself as a soldier in Christ's army, hard-pressed but not hemmed in, ignorant of the next move, yet confident of the ultimate victory, never forsaken by the captain of his salvation, despite being pursued by enemies, appearing to be fatally wounded, but able to continue the fight. And thus the apostle continued his work despite his many setbacks. What an example of faith and trust he is. Thank you for listening.